the Word of God gives us life. And so many times, you know, we're living in this world, and so many people say, oh, I need peace right now. And you know, God is focusing on the forevermore. And when we wait patiently upon the Lord, know that God says, I'm going to give you a peace that is everlasting. But you must hold on to my word. You must hold on to me, because I am your provider. God says, trust in me, and I'll show you the way. So we just simply say, yes, Lord, I believe. Yes, Lord, I trust in you. And then we just let God do his thing. Amen. So why don't we go ahead and bow our hearts. Let's come before our Lord God and King. Let's pray. Father God, we come into your holy presence and we seek after you because we know where you are, there is an abundance of your love, your peace, and your joy. And Lord, whatever we're going through right now, we know, Lord, you will sustain us. As we trust in you and believe in you, you're going to lead us to paths that will lead to greater and greater blessings. So Father, we come to you as your children now and say, Daddy God, we need you. Oh, how we need you. Let your words come alive right now, Lord. As I speak it, Father, may your words come out and truly touch the hearts of your children. We give this time into your hands now. It's in the powerful name of Jesus Christ we pray these things. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, if you take a look at your notes today, the title of my sermon is Holding the Greatest Hand in the world. Holding the greatest hand in the world. You know, when you think about it, the human hand has so many wonderful functions. Just to name a few, you know, we use our hand to grasp, manipulate, and hold objects. One of my favorite things to hold is a fork. Because I love to eat Hawaiian food. When I dig my fork right in the laulau, I love it. And I know, I gotta control myself, and especially when it concerns Hawaiian food, but that's one thing I love to do with my hand. The other thing is, we can shake hands, you know, with people, with our hands. We can give high fives, or we can give low fives. Or we can give that shaka, hey, brother, how's it? Or we can use it to comfort someone who is grieving. Sometimes all it takes is for you to just put your hand on that person, and that person can just feel that comfort coming from you. And sometimes just a little stroke, they feel at ease. Or we can use our hands to put them together, to clap and cheer someone. You can do it. Come on. You can do it. So many wonderful things we can do with our hands. Isn't it true? But you know what? There's one thing for me. I can't imagine anything more enduring than a parent holding his or her own child's hand. I got to show you something. This is something my brother gave to my father years ago. You can see it's a picture of a father holding onto the hand of his child. I like what it says there. It says, anyone can be a father, but it takes someone special to be a daddy. And you know, I remember when my brother gave this to my dad, he just had a stroke not too long ago. I remember when my dad saw this, he cried. And so did I. And it was so touching just to see a father holding the hand of a child. And my mom, she kind of lost it too. But you realize, isn't this so enduring? Isn't this so heart-touching? Knowing that just a simple holding of someone's hand can bring on this kind of effect. What I want to do now, I'm going to ask you just to close your eyes. And just think back to maybe when you were 6 or 7 years old. And you're just holding on to either your mother, your father, or just someone who really cared for you so much. Can we just go back to that time? As you're holding that person's hand, can you just let those feelings and emotions come out? Oh, don't you feel like the love just emanating from that person? Don't you feel the warmth of that person's hand just showing you, hey, you're deeply loved? Just hold on to that moment just for a few seconds. Can you do that? Just for a few seconds, hold on to that moment. Wow. You know, when I think back to my days of youth, I remember those times when I either held my mom or dad's hand, I get like these warm and fuzzy feelings. And, you know, it is such a wonderful place to be when you can just think about those times. And what we don't realize is that many of the heartwarming functions of what we can do with a human hand is also used by our Father God's hand. And I hope that after you finish today's sermon, you will truly understand, wow, our Father God wants us to give that same kind of emotion that we can get, knowing that it is a hand that holds our hand that can show us we are truly and deeply loved. But we're going to experience it in even a grander scale as we realize, hey, this is coming from our Father God. So here's the question. Look in your notes. It says, what can we be assured of when God's hand is upon us? Well, number one here, you can fill in the blank. He will care for us as a loving parent. Yes, he calls himself a Father God, so he is a parent. He's a daddy God. Look what it says in 1 Peter 5, 6 through 7. It says there, therefore humble yourselves under what? The mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And you know, I got to tell you, if you want to come under the mighty hand of God, the most important thing we have to do as believers is what? Humble ourselves. We never go to the throne room of grace and mercy and say, Lord, I am here. Show yourself. Oh, if you do that, you're in big trouble. Because it shows you're filled with a lot of pride. No, you go to him like a child and say, Daddy God, I need you. Just like that song we just sang, oh Lord, I need you. Every hour I need you. That's with a humble spirit. And that's where God will show himself strong. You cannot truly experience the fullness of God's presence unless you come with a humble heart. Amen? But you know what? Sometimes you got to wonder, how is it that our Father God, the Almighty Creator of all the universe, would be so concerned about our human needs or problems that we're facing in our lives? Yet God says, we are to cast it upon him, all our cares, all our worries. Because why? Because he loves us. Because he cares for us. And to get a better understanding of God's loving hand upon us, I want to read to you this article written by this Christian author and pastor. His name is Max Anders, who describes what happened to President Ronald Reagan when there was an attempt for his assassination in the 1980s. You guys remember that, right? I was a freshman in high school when that happened, by the way. So I just told you my age. Yeah, I'm 47 or something like that. I don't remember. But anyway, let me read to you what it says here. It says, early in his administration, President Ronald Reagan came out of the Hilton Hotel where he had spoken and was walking a short distance to his car when he heard a noise. Pop, pop, pop. The firecrackers, like firecrackers, going off. The Secret Service bodyguard shoved him into the nearby presidential limousine and jumped in on top of him. And Reagan, he felt a crushing pain in his ribs. He began coughing up blood, and they rushed him to George Washington Hospital. He was walking to the emergency room when he got lightheaded and weak in the knees. He was also having great difficulty breathing. The next thing he knew, he was lying face up on a gurney being wheeled into the hospital. Later, as he was going into the operating room, he looked at the surgical team and quipped, I sure hope you're all Republicans. It's kind of cool, yeah, you can joke around even now in this pain, you know. But Reagan's difficulty breathing increased. His lungs were working, but no matter how many times he took a breath, he couldn't get enough air. He began to panic, and he finally blacked out. When he regained consciousness, sometime later, he felt someone, evidently one of the nurses, holding his hand. He later wrote, it is difficult for me to describe how deeply touched I was by that gesture. It was very reassuring just to feel the warmth of a human hand. He began asking, who's holding my hand? There was no answer. Who's holding my hand? He asked again. Again, no answer. Then he says, does Nancy know about us? And you know, Anders concludes. He says, when you strip everything away, life really comes down to this, knowing that we are not alone. Knowing somebody cares, knowing that we are loved. And you may have had a moment where you felt like you were so lonely that nobody cared. You're the loneliest person on this planet Earth. Sometimes you just sit in the quietness of where you are. You can realize God is there for you. You realize there's a higher love that is not comparable to any form of human love. It's a higher love that is for you and for me. It comes from our Father God. So next time you're afraid and you wonder, who's holding my hand? You may be so lonely and you go, someone's holding my hand. Remember the words of the Lord. Look in your notes. Psalm 37, 23 to 24. It says here, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Every detail. Though they stumble, they will never fall. For the Lord what? Oh, I love this verse. For the Lord holds them by the hand. Our Father God holds our hands. Can you believe that? It says that in the scripture. Look what it says in Isaiah 41, 13 to 14. It says there, for I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not. I am the one who helps you. Fear not, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel. I am the one who helps you, declares the Lord. Your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. And you got to understand, when he says, you worm Jacob, he's not just referring to one person. He's referring to the descendants of Jacob. And because, you know, they had started worshiping idols and all that. And now they're wanting to come back to the Lord. He says, fear not. You trust in me. You bring your heart back to me. I will restore you. I will show you who I am. I will truly lavish my love upon your life. That's what we need to do. If we've gone astray, we come back to the Lord and say, Lord, I need you. Oh, every hour, I need you, Lord. Well, look at number two here now. It says, you will never be, right in that blank, forgotten by God. You will never, ever be forgotten by God. Look what it says here in Isaiah 49, 14 to 16. It says, yet Jerusalem says, the Lord has deserted us. The Lord has forgotten us. And look what God says. Never can a mother forget her nursing child. Can she feel no love for the child she has born? But even if that were possible, I would not forget you, God says. See, I have written your name on the palms of my hand. Always in my mind is a picture of Jerusalem's walls in ruins. And we know who destroyed the walls of Jerusalem, the Babylonians. And God says, I know what trouble you're going through, but I will be your restorer if you turn your hearts towards me. And you know, when I read these verses, I can't help but to think of, you know, that elderly grandfather who has a wallet packed with pictures of his grandchildren. He's always ready to show the pictures of all his grandkids, you know, to his friends, I mean to strangers. And you know, because why? He's so proud of his grandkids. And it's kind of funny, you know, you can almost imagine, you know, every time he's with his friends or whoever, you know, he may say, hey, did I show you pictures of my grandkids yet? And the friends go, yeah, about 100 or so times. Well, I still want to show it to you. Look. Can we imagine our Father God would do the same for us? He's so proud of us. He loves us so deeply, more than you shall ever know. And you know, just to think about this too, you know, a grandparent usually always would want to just lavish, you know, their grandkids with so much love and so many gifts. And that's what the Word of God tells us, you know. How awesome is the love of God that He would lavish wonderful gifts upon His children. And you know how it is, a grandfather just sometimes chasing their grandchild. Here's a buck. And chasing the grandchild and the grandchild, okay. And that's what it is, right? Just our Father God just wanting to just give us more because He loves us so much. But can you imagine this now? Billions upon billions of names written on our Father God's hand. And you have to wonder, you have to question, why would he write, you know, our names on his hand? Well, think about this. Have you ever written anything on your hand? If you don't have paper, what do? Is it someone gives you a phone number? Okay, hold on, I don't have a piece of paper. What, 652, okay. And you write it in your hand, right? Or if I get a call from my wife, Ben, don't forget to get 2 oranges and a pound of rice, okay? What? How many oranges? And so I gotta, if I have a pen, I'll just write, okay? Whatever, right? And write it on my palm. So that I would what? Remember. And not that God would forget, right? I mean, this is God we're talking about. But I'm thinking, he's telling us this because he's saying, hey, I remember you. But how many kids you think God has? I don't think we can find a number to describe how many kids, you know, God is like beyond infinity, probably, right? But he has it all written on his hand. And you kind of wonder, wow, God has my name, your name, on his hand. Because he loves you, because he remembers you, and he wants to provide for you. He wants to continue to lavish your life with more and more of his love, more and more of his blessings. I want to tell you about a man named Hudson Taylor. He's a missionary to China. And, oh man, if you read about his writings, you read about his life, you know this is a man who had complete trust in God's faithfulness. You know, in his journal, he wrote this. He writes, "Our Heavenly Father is a very experienced one. He knows very well that his children wake up with a good appetite every morning. He sustained 2 million Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years. We do not expect he will send 2 million missionaries to China, but if he did, he would have ample means to sustain them all. Depend on it, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply, for he will never forget you." And you know, you think about it when you ask someone, oh, how many Israelites do you think was in the wilderness? You know, how many Israelites you think passed through the Red Sea when it was parted? You know, sometimes you watch the movies, oh, probably a couple hundred or a couple thousand. No, if you read the scriptures, we're talking like millions, 2 to 3 million people that, I mean, crossed that Red Sea and they were in the wilderness for 40 years. Can you imagine? 2 million people, yet God sustained them all. God gave them manna, God gave them quail, God provided for them, and yet they still complain. And you know, that's what we can count on. God's provision will always be there for us. If we're trusting in him, we're believing him. Amen? Number 3 here, it says, you are guaranteed his protection. You are guaranteed his protection. And this is what it says in Ezra 8, 21 to 23. And there, this is what it says, "And there by the Ahava Canal, I gave orders for all of us to fast and humble ourselves before our God." This is the high priest, Ezra, talking here. He says, "We pray that he would give us a safe journey and protect us, our children, and goods as we travel. For I was ashamed to ask the king for soldiers and horsemen to accompany us and protect us from enemies along the way. After all, we had told the king, our God's hand of protection is on all who worship him, but his fierce anger rages against those who abandon him. So we fasted and earnestly prayed that our God would take care of us, and he heard our prayer." So basically, we have here prophet, the high priest Ezra, whose mission was to lead a group of Judean exiles in Babylon back to Jerusalem. That's what his mission was to do. But before their journey back home, you know, he was thinking, oh, what if there's enemies along the way that will try to kill us? Oh man, I think we need some kind of protection here. And then he goes to the king of Persia, and he's thinking, okay, maybe I can ask him to send some troops to protect us. But then he remembers something. He remembered in a conversation, he told the king how much he believed that God's hand of protection is upon him and his family. And then he said, you know what? Instead of going to the king of Persia, I'm going to fast and pray. He told the rest of the people to do that. And God did his part. That's what the scripture tells us. But we know that sometimes we get all excited. We say, we have the faith to believe. We know God can do it. And sometimes when we say that, we got to back it up. We got to show that we really believe. You know, I remember there was a time, a long time ago, I was in my 20s, I went to this UH football game at the Loa Stadium with a non-Christian friend. And I remember he said, oh, Ben, I heard on the forecast there might be a chance for heavy rains. He said, it's going to pour. And I said, you know, and I was kind of like a new Christian at that time. I said, no worry, my God's going to take care of it. I said, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to believe that God's going to stop the rain. And he said, well, okay, if you want to believe that. I said, yes, I know God can do that for us. I remember I met him at the Loa Stadium at the ticket booth. I got to tell you, I showed up with the largest umbrella and a rain jacket. And I even brought our umbrella for him. Shame. But here's the thing, right? When he saw me, he said, hey, Ben, I thought you said you prayed. Yeah, I did, didn't I? And I said, well, I guess just in case. But you know what? I remember it did rain, you know, when we watched the game, but it was only a light drizzle. And there was no heavy rains. But I remember it was like God reminding me, hey, when you believe in me, child, oh, you got to show it. Yes, Lord. Because that's the whole thing, right? When we get all excited, yes, Lord, you can do it. You can say, I know I'm feeling sick. Just like Brother Freeman right there. You know, when he said, oh, Lord, I need a healing upon my wrist. You know, the thing is, he could just say, okay, I believe God has healed me. And then he just puts back his brace back on and say, okay, now I'm feeling better. And now I'm going to go to the doctor. You know, don't get me wrong. It's okay to go to the doctor because sometimes the God can work through the doctor in providing your healing. But when you get all excited, yes, Lord has healed me. God has given me his healing power. And then we just go, okay, well, now I've got to go and see the doctor and hopefully he will help. I've heard people say that. And the thing is, what kind of witness is that? When you say God can do something, you stand on it. And you know, God will show you what you are to do next. Don't go right the next sentence saying, okay, now let's turn to man. You know what I'm trying to say here? When you say God can do it, stand on it. Stand on it and believe in it with all your heart, all your might. Amen? Amen. So now, here's the question. What do we need protection from anyway? Well, look at what it says here in John 10, 28 to 30. Look what Jesus says. He says here, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me, for my Father has given them to me, and he is more powerful than anyone else. No one can snatch them from the Father's hand. The Father and I are one. So you know if you've given your life to Jesus, you belong to him. But who's trying to snatch you away from him? The devil. He doesn't like the idea that you're getting close to God, that you're loving God more and more, that you're spending time with God more every day in the Word and you're praying to Him. No, he hates that. So we know God will protect us. He's not going to let the devil snatch us away from Him because God's grip is tight upon our lives. Amen? And look what it says here in Psalm 110. It says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit in a place of honor at my right hand and until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet. Wow. It says, sit in a place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies. So the first thing we've got to understand, yes, the devil, he will do whatever he can to snatch us away from God. The other thing is, the devil, he will use people sometimes to discourage us, to bring us down to the point where we lose hope, to the point that we kind of wonder if our faith in God is real. Because it says here, if you hold on to God, if you sit in the place of honor where God wants you to sit, you're standing firm in your faith, God says, I will humble your enemies. He will humble your enemies. As you pray for your enemies, for these people that are trying to make your life difficult, you know, God says, I will humble them. And I know I share this a lot of this illustration, but you know, John Lee you know, told me this one time where she was standing in line at the bank, and she just noticed one of the bank tellers was just really mean and just like almost like snapping at people. You just kind of wonder why the supervisor didn't even do anything. But she stood in line and she started praying for this bank teller. Said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I speak peace upon this person's life. Whatever she's going through, I pray, Lord, that you will just let your peace enter in, that there will be no room for any works of the devil." Similar to that kind of prayer, right? And she said, when she was next in line, there were other tellers. She was thinking, "Okay, Lord, you want to give me someone else, it's okay, but, you know, because I know you have a purpose and a plan for whatever you're going to do next." So guess what? She was next. And she said when she went up to the bank teller, all of a sudden, there was a change. It was like a change in the atmosphere. She spoke peace. She spoke joy. And guess what happened? Peace of God came. The joy of the Lord came. And suddenly this lady is like, "Oh, good morning. How are you doing, ma'am?" And she was so shocked. She said, "Wow, this is like a change. I want you to understand, there is so much power in prayer, when you can go to God and say, 'Lord, you can do it. Lord, you can change the worst into good.'" And that bank teller was nice from the very beginning to the end. And I believe, you know, Johnny said, "Oh, God bless you." And she probably said, "Oh, Will, same to you." And wow, this is what the power of prayer can do. Amen. And you know, his hand of protection is always upon us. He will never take his hand of protection off of you. As long as you're trusting in him, you're believing in him, God says, "My hand doesn't go anywhere. It stays." And I've got to tell you about this group of 10 Christian missionaries who decided to go into a village in which the tribes people were known to be so violent, and they hate Christians. I mean, they hate Christians with a passion. And you know, as soon as these bold Christian missionaries arrived, they were met with hostility. And their translator that was with them said, "You know what? They have every intention to kill you. In fact, they want to set you on fire and burn all of you up." And so, you know, these missionaries, they say, "You know what? God sent us here for a reason. We're going to stay. We're going to have faith to believe that God's going to protect us." So what did they do? They gathered together and they started praying fiercely. They started crying out to God, saying, "Holy Spirit of God, come, put your hedge of protection over us. We're not going to fear because we know you are with us. You will stand strong with us, Lord. We're trusting in you. We're believing in you." And they just prayed like that for probably over an hour, just pouring it out to God. And it says that within hours, the chief of the tribes people came to their hut. And all of a sudden, look on their faces. They look friendly. In fact, the chief had a big smile on his face. And you know what they did? They said, "We want to invite you to have a feast with us. Let's have a party." So the missionaries go, "Oh, this must be the work of God." So they say, "Okay, let's go." So they all went and they had a good time. They had their dancing, whatever. And after the meal was done, guess what they did? They shared their faith. Through the translator, they shared with the people the gospel of Christ. And you know what? That was amazing. They said there were like hundreds, maybe thousands of these people in the village. Every man, woman, child received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And they go, "Oh, this has to be God. There's no doubt." But you know what's funny? Many days later, it was learned through the translator that, you know what happened that night? The tribe people laced all of their food with poison. I mean, this kind of poison is so deadly, it can kill you within seconds. And the reason why they gave their life to Jesus Christ, he said, "You know what? Your God must be real. Because you ate all of our food, and you're still dancing and having a good time." Every man, woman, child gave their life to Jesus Christ that night. And the scripture tells us, "You shall drink deadly poison and it will not harm you because you believe in God." Because you believe in God. You see the power of believing in God. God can do it all. There's nothing, absolutely nothing, that is impossible for God. Amen?
Amen.
But look at number four here. He says, he will guide you in his paths of righteousness. Look what it says here in Ezekiel 1:3. It says, the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel, the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the Chebar Canal. And the hand of the Lord was upon him there. And I have to tell you, when you're in the word of the Lord, when you're constantly reading his word, you're constantly spending time with God, know that the hand of God will be upon you. Because when you're experiencing difficulties in life, guess what will come to your mind? The word of God. The word of God will sustain you. The word of God will give you strength to keep going forward with God. And just like with the prophet Ezekiel, that's what he experienced. The word came. God spoke to him directly when he took the time, the initiative, to get quiet with the Lord. And it says, the hand of the Lord was upon him. Look what it says here in Psalm 25:8-10. It says, the Lord is good and does what is right. He shows the proper path to those who go astray. He leads the humble in doing right, teaching them his way. The Lord leads with unfailing love and faithfulness all who keep his covenant and obey his demands. Wow. And there are times we might go astray, right? We go off the wrong track, we go off the wrong path. God says, I will get you back. Because his hand never leads you. Because some people think, oh, if I've sinned, if I've gone on a path that I shouldn't go, God leads me. No, God doesn't leave you. He stays with you. He's trying to lead you back on the proper path so that you can walk right into his blessings. So you can walk back into his miracle power. God never leaves you. Amen? We got to remember that. And as long as you believe that God will always be faithful to lead you out of all your problems in life, I'm talking all. There's not one problem in your life that he cannot solve. He will help you. He will show you the way out if you trust in him. And just imagine, if we always live a life that believing that God can do it all for us, we're going to have a lot less stress in our lives. Because, you know, I just read an article yesterday. I read it on the internet, on Yahoo. It says that a person who says these two words, or two or three words, frequently, and they say it daily, you know what? It says that it will double their chances of getting a heart attack. You know what those words are? This is what they found in the study, the actual study they found. These words are, oh, I'm stressed. Or a common one, I'm stressed out. Oh. And it's not just saying the words, right? It's the physical symptoms that come along with it. You see like a vein bulging right on your forehead. All the veins and arteries just bulging on your neck. And it's like you have shallow breathing, and you're just like, your fists are clenched, and you're just so uptight. That's what I read. It says it doubled your chances of getting a heart attack. If you're always saying, I'm stressed out, but really showing the symptoms too that come along with those words. So if you are saying those words, you know what? Maybe say, Lord, I'm feeling a little stressed right now, but Lord, I'm casting it upon you. Because the word says, cast all your worries and anxieties upon me because I care for you. And what does that mean? Say, Lord, it's yours. Show me, Lord, what am I to do? Because I need your help. That's what you do. You don't say, Lord, it's yours, and go, okay, I'm going to sit here and just wait. Okay, Lord, I'm waiting. No. That point, you say, Lord, I'm all ears and I'm all heart. Show me, because I'm trusting in you. See the difference? When you give it, oh, all of a sudden, if you really believe God's going to do something, the stress will just come off of you. The worry, the anxiety just comes off. As you say, Lord, I trust in you. I want to show you something there. I'm going to ask you, what do you see? Come on, someone yell it out.
A bug.
A bug? Okay. Well, most people will say a black dot, right? But the thing is, question you have to ask, why that you put that focus on this tiny little dot, ignoring the wholeness of this white page. Think about this, because think about this for a second. If this dot were to represent hardship, suffering, pain, you know, some of us, even believers, right? We have laser beam focus. We're focused on our problems, not realizing the vastness of this whiteness around us, which represents God's hand giving us His provision, giving us His blessings, not just in our lives, but in all of creation. This is the vastness of God's hand saying, I am at work around you. Hold on to me because I love you. But yet, we're stuck to this little tiny dot. And we gotta say, Lord, I'm backing off. I'm trusting in you because your power reigns in me. And as you believe that, God says, oh, I'm going to show you more of who I am now because you believe in me. Because when we focus on the negatives in our lives, we fail to see the vastness of God's goodness and His blessing. Instead of being grateful, guess what? We're bitter and we're resentful. Sometimes we just got to step back and say, Lord, I'm going to be still in your presence. Help me, Lord, to experience more and more of you. Because that's what it really comes down to. We got to train our eyes to focus on the vast area of the white. And you know what? The dot, that little black dot, it will grow increasingly unnoticeable. You know what? It still may be there. Your problem doesn't leave right away sometimes, right? You can go to God and God says, just wait upon me. But what happens is that dot seems to just shrink. Your problem still may be there, but you know what? Your focus is now on who? God. I say, Lord, I'm holding on. And I ain't letting go. And God says, I got you, child. I got you. And we hold on and we don't let go, amen? Don't focus on the negative. Think positive, because God is all positive, amen? And as you believe in God with your whole heart, He will show Himself strong. This is what it says in Philippians 4:8. It's not in your notes, I want to read it to you. This is what the Apostle Paul writes to the believers. He says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And this is your list. You can write on the side Philippians 4:8. You know, these are the things we are to put our mind upon. If you start going off track, if it's not praiseworthy, if it's not admirable, it's not lovely, it's not pure, just get rid of it. Say, Lord, I want to think your thoughts. I want to think on the positive because you are all positive, Lord. And you're going to bring forth your blessings in my life. Keep going to God and say, Lord, I need you. Oh, every hour, I need you. I want you to take a look at the bottom line verses here. A lot of bottom line verses there. But look at the first verse, John 1:3. It says, all things were made through Him. Everyone say, all things.
All things.
All things were made through Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. I want you to understand, God made everything. Everything you see, you look out the window, you see the mountain, you see building, God made it all. Well, someone may say, well, man built the building. Well, where do you think man got the materials? God provided all of these things for what we see all around us. God made it all. And just knowing that, wow, God made us special. God made us for a purpose and a reason. And He gave us a plan for our life. Ephesians 2:10, look what it says there. For we are God's what? Handiwork. Created in Christ Jesus to do what? Bad works?
Good.
Junk works? Good works. Only good works. Which God prepared in advance for us to do. Knowing that we are God's handiwork, is God's hand upon us? God made us, after all, didn't He? We are His handiwork. He made us into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ, to do good works. Don't ever say, oh, I don't have a purpose or plan in my life. You know, people say, I'll never amount to anything. I guess I won't. Don't believe that lie. God gave you a purpose and a reason on this planet Earth. And God says, I value you. You're my child. You're my handiwork. You're my masterpiece, God says. And as you live according to what His Word tells you to do, as you realize His Word is all-powerful, almighty, you live according to His Word. Just watch. Just watch what God will do. Amen? But here's the thing. In times of uncertainty, I got to tell you, you draw the truths out from Scripture. And I love to go to Isaiah 40. I want you to look in your notes. Isaiah 40, 12. This is what it says. It says, who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand? Measured heaven with a span and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. You know, it's interesting to know. The oceans of the world contain more than 340 quintillion. You ever heard of that word? I didn't know that that was a word that existed. Quintillion gallons of water. And just to give you an idea of what 340 quintillion looks like, 340, 18 zeros. 340 quintillion gallons of water. I don't know how man figured that out. But this is what they say. 340 with 18 zeros at the end. Because, you know, if you talk about million, there's 6 zeros. And then billion is 9 zeros. Talk about quintillion, there's 18 zeros. It's kind of mind-blowing, right? That's how much there is in gallons of water or bodies of water on this planet Earth. But you know what Scripture says? God holds them in the hollow of His hand. I want you to get this now. Not in His hand, in the hollow in His hand. In the puka, the little tiny hole in His hand. Like when you look at your hand, there's little tiny little crevices, little holes. God says, I hold all that body of water on this planet Earth in one of the holes of my hand. In the hollow of His hand. I want you to get to understand, this is the awesomeness of our Father God's hand. He holds all the earth's water in one of the little tiny holes of His hand. Isn't that mind-boggling? And you know what? It tells us the known universe stretches more than 30 billion light years. I mean, the length of the universe, they somehow figured out to be 200 sextillion miles. I never knew that was a word either. It's actually spelled S-E-X. I don't know why they called it that, but that's what it says. 200 sextillion miles. And just to give you an idea what 200 sextillion miles look like, these are 20 zeros now. 200 sextillion miles. The length of the universe. Don't ask me how they figured that out. I'm just reporting to you what I found in my research. That's the length of the universe, 200 sextillion miles. But you know what Scripture tells us? God measures it by the width of His hand. From here to there, that's the length of the universe according to God's hand. Not our hand, God's hand. Hey, wait a minute. That's God's hand? The length of the universe is in the span of God's hand. I want to read to you what it says here in Isaiah 40, 15. Look in your notes. It says, behold, the nations are as a drop in the bucket and are counted as a small dust on the scales. Look, He lifts up the isles as a very little thing. And the earth, they figured this out, it weighs 6 trillion, is that right? Oh, 6 trillion metric tons. This is how much 6 sextillion looks like. Once again, with 20 zeros. Wow. Think about that. The earth weighs 6 sextillion metric tons, yet God says it is but a dust on a scale. You ever measured a dust, the weight of a dust on a scale? You ever done that? Is that possible? Can you weigh the weight of a dust? But God says, that's the weight of the earth. To me, the weight of the world is but a speck of dust on the scale. I want you to understand the grandness. Oh, the awesomeness. I can't find any other word. I want to find a word that goes beyond awesomeness and grandness. I can't think of any other word, but, you know, that's I'm going to explode here, you know, just thinking about this. That's our Father God's hand. Just think about this. If God can hold the waters of the ocean in the hollow of his hand, and he can consider the weight of the earth but as dust, he measures the width of the universe with the span of his hand. And he calls each star by name. I got to tell you, you got to realize he can handle any problem, any difficulty in your life. Because that's what it says. Look what it says in Isaiah 40:26. It says, lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things. Who brings out their hosts by number? He calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one is missing. And you know what? It's interesting. You know, scientists, they claim that there are 100, I'm talking 100 billion galaxies in this entire universe. 100 billion galaxies. And we're living in one galaxy. You know what it is, right? The Milky Way. Right? And it says that each galaxy, but remember, there's 100 billion galaxies, right? But the thing is each galaxy is made up of 100 billion stars. Wait a minute. 100 billion galaxies. And each galaxy has 100 billion stars. Okay, who's good in math again? 100 billion times 100 billion. Is that right?
No.
6 billion. Okay, 6 billion. Okay. But here's the thing. What I'm trying to point out here, isn't that mind-boggling? But you know what? God says, I made every single one of them. I made every single one of them. I call them by name. Can you think of so many names, first of all? I don't know, how many, 100 billion, 6 billion, whatever, right? He says he gives a name to all of them. Here's my point. I want you to understand this. Remembering the warmness, the special feeling we get just knowing our Father holds our hand. Think about the grandeurness of his hand. He created billions upon billions of stars. He created you and me, yet he says, I want to hold your hand because I cherish you. You're my child. And you have to really wonder why God would do that. Such magnificence in his hand. Yet he says, I hold your hand when you're filled with sorrow. When you're crying, I collect your tears in a bottle. I'm concerned with every detail in your life. Knowing that God says, I made you. He has his fingerprints all over us. I want you to listen to this song. This video is called The Fingerprints of God, sang by Stephen Curtis Chapman. I want you to really pay attention to the lyrics and just realize, yes, you truly have the fingerprints of God on your life. Author?
Filling your eyes, and I don't know what I'm coming from.
There are times, like I said earlier, you may feel lonely, you may feel like nobody cares. Man, those times, I remember, I had those times in my life, and I just found a corner where I could just sit in and just find the most quiet place. And as I looked to God and said, Lord, I know you're here with me. And Lord, you give me everything I need to live a life that is victorious, a life that is truly blessed. And Lord, I love you. I can tell you, those moments, I just feel the presence of God just come upon me. I'd be crying, and as His presence comes, I know He's filling me up with His joy, with His love, with His peace. And you'd be surprised if you just look at your hand, you realize all of these fingerprints all over your hand because He's been holding your hand. And God says, when I got a hold of your hand, I'm not letting go. Because He loves us as His child. And as we turn our hearts to Him, know that God will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Because His fingerprints are all over you. Because He's not just holding your hand. He's embracing you. He's telling you, child, you belong to me. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Why don't we go ahead and bow our hearts before God. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the message you spoke through me. Lord, I know, Father, your words give us life. I thank you, Lord, for your words that give us strength, that give us power, that give us all we need to live a life that we know can be so victorious as we trust in you. Father God, with the message that was spoken, help us to realize your hand is always there for us. You're always comforting us. You're always providing for us. You're always showing us that you care. Father God, I pray for any of us here that we kind of lose sight of that. Well, we don't realize the vastness, the awesomeness of your hand. I pray that your Holy Spirit will come and just show us, Lord, how deeply loved we are by you. And right now, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I kind of realize that. I've been telling people about the awesomeness of God, telling people that, oh, I love God so much, but sometimes I get quiet with God. I don't feel it. I don't sense He's really there for me. Well, you know, the devil, he's working hard to try to whisper lies in your head saying, God doesn't really care about you. God doesn't really love you. Those are lies from the devil. We are not to believe in those lies at all. Knowing the Word of God says, I am here to sustain you. Cast all your anxieties upon me because I love you. And now you realize, you know, I haven't been really turning my heart fully to Christ. But now, I want to just give my all to the Lord. Say, Lord, my life is no longer mine. It completely belongs to you. And if that's the cry of your heart, with all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, can you raise your hand so that I can pray for you? Hallelujah. Praise God. Anyone else? Raise your hand up high. Say, Lord, that's me. Oh, Lord, that's me. Oh, Lord, I need you. I need you every hour. I need you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus. Put your hands down. Oh, praise God. Father God, you've seen all the hands that were raised. I pray right now in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, let your presence just fall upon your children right now. Oh, Jesus. Let your presence fall upon upon your people as they receive your peace, your love, your joy. Let it just come and just fill their hearts, overflowing of your goodness, Lord. Let your presence come now, Lord, because we are your children that love you so much, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, of anything we've done to displease you, Lord. Help us to walk on that straight and narrow path, Lord, that you have for us that will lead to you, to your blessings. Father God, let your presence just fall upon your children. And for those of us that have raised your hands, I pray, Father God, you will fill them up, overflowing of your presence and your power. I pray each and every day as they wake up, they will just say, praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Father God. And as they do, I pray the infilling of your Holy Spirit's presence will just give them a peace that surpasses all understanding, a joy that is refreshed, renewed every morning, and a love that can compare to no other. I pray your love will be lavished upon your children, upon all of us here. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, for some of you, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I've heard of people talking about having a relationship with God, with Jesus Christ. What must I do? How do I get started? Well, you can start off by praying a simple prayer, but it must come from deep within your heart. Because if you really mean this prayer, I can tell you, God will come in. God will do something wonderful in your life as you say, Lord, I submit. I surrender all of me unto you. And if you know the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart, saying, come, child, come to me now, because I want to bless your life. You think you are blessed right where you are right now with all that you have. God says, no, I'm going to give you the kind of peace that lasts, the kind of joy that never goes. It will be constantly upon your life if you trust in me, God says. And if you're ready and you're willing, I'm going to be praying this prayer in just a minute. If you never accepted Jesus Christ into your life before, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Give your life to Jesus today and experience his power and his presence. And if that's you, you're saying, yes, I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Can you raise your hand right now and say, that's me. I want to say yes to Jesus. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. Anyone else saying yes to Jesus? All the way. Praise God, brother. Anyone else? Say yes to Jesus. Yes to him. Yes to our Savior. Hallelujah. 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 All right, you can put your hands down. Oh, let's pray this prayer out loud. Let's pray together as a family. Just repeat after me and mean it from your heart. Say, Father God,
I need you.
I need you. And I give you praise for who you are.
I believe in you.
And I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for me on the cross. But on the third day, he rose again. And he lives in my heart. And I give you praise for that. And Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But your word says, if I confess of my sin, you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord, and make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this, so you can hear me, Father God, and so that everyone can hear me, and so that I can hear myself, and so that the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord. I live for him, and I live for him only. Father God, write my name in your book of life, for I give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says, amen. Amen. Let's give a clap offering. Let's praise our Father God.